He'll be out for a while. He's got to keep his legs straight, so I'm sure he appreciates the prayers of the saints. And if you even wanted to email him and Amy a little encouragement, that always goes a long way. It always goes a long way. So you could do that if you want. I was encouraged too yesterday, being at the All Area Elders meeting. Steve Herzig is a good guy. Had him over the house. He's just funny. But on the way out, I was talking with Mike. He said, "Hey, man, coming tomorrow?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Is your family coming?" And I stopped in my tracks. He probably thought, okay, was that an offensive question? And I stopped because I knew I had a conversation with my wife about it, but I guess I didn't really hear the whole conversation. And I went, oh no, I'm in trouble again with my wife. So I'm sitting there thinking, I don't even know if you know this story, by the way. Welcome to the Word of the Lord. But I thought, man, I know this answer. Because here's the deal. My wife, we were deciding whether or not she was going to come or not with the kids because she's going to be doing Sunday school this year. And we were discussing whether or not she should stay at Brantford and all those things. But I forgot the actual final assessment. And so I said, Mike, I don't know. I said, all I know is I have to bring up a conversation I knew I should have the answer to. And we'll see. So that's my little leeway into how good we really listen. Listen, if I might... not in any bragging, but I think I have a pretty good marriage, if I might say that out loud. We have a lot of fun together, but we're coming up on 14 years this November, and we are still talking about communication, how to listen. We just passed it again on the way up here. We went to the Family Life Conference. We're doing another marriage retreat, Lord willing, this spring. I'll let you know all about that stuff. Communication is important. It seems like the Lord would have me speak on those things here at Bristol. I was thinking about some of the things I have spoken on. Sometimes it was simply where does love rank in the assembly and things like that. I love the simplicity of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor. I used to think that was great. Someone with my personality go, great. All I got to do is follow two things, and I'm golden. And then you realize those two things are the hardest things to do, to actually love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love each other. And so I want to give us just practical things about listening today, because what I've realized is, number one, it upsets people. Can I just say that out loud? It upsets people when people don't listen to each other. They get really upset really fast. And a lot of times we don't really know how to describe to someone, look, the fact that you're not listening to me. And two, my bigger point is I've started to realize that if I'm really a bad listener when it comes to people, why do I suddenly think I'm a great listener when God's speaking to me? Listening is going to be the same, the skills for each other and for when God speaks. And so I started to get a little worried there, thinking, man, if I'm not that good of a listener, maybe with the people in my life that I love, well, what am I really missing out when God speaks? And so those are some of the things I want to talk about today. Let's turn to James chapter 1. It might be a familiar portion to you. Verse 19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless." Let's look to the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for another time in your word. I pray that we would be controlled by your spirit, that we would listen, and that we would recognize the very presence of the one who saved us, and that we would be a people that would grow in the grace and knowledge of you, that we would be more like you, that our love for one another would increase, Lord, be honored and glorified above all during this time. We would love if heaven was well pleased when they look down on this time, that they might see correctly what it is that you have established, your church. And so we thank you for who you are. In your name, amen. So I want to give us three areas of listening, I feel like. Number one, we have hearken with speed. Hearken with speed. Quick to listen. It might be one of those verses that we've heard since the beginning. And again, to practically apply it, many of us do not. If it says three things here, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Can you imagine what your assembly would look like if actually everyone did those three things? People were slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen. You go into any division, any kind of talk where people get all upset with each other, usually people are not waiting. They're not being slow to speak. They're really not quick to listen. And the anger is definitely there. And so, these three things are key. I'm just going to focus on listening. Hearken with speed. That word quick always kind of be swift to hear. I was kind of like, okay, how do you quickly listen? That's kind of weird. Right? Like, how do you speed up the listening process? It really doesn't mean that. It really means that we have an attitude in which we're intentional with our listening. As the idea almost of body language, that you would draw near to the person that you're trying to listen to. Already the wives in the room are going, you need to hear this, honey. All right? So, you need to be intentional with your listening, and a lot of times body language. I'm a teacher. Sometimes I speak. You won't be offended if I see you nodding off today. But yeah, there's definitely a piece where you're teaching and your students in class are like, and man, the anger starts to flow a little bit, right? You feel like yelling at the kid, be like, hey, you listening? All that stuff. Because we get offended, right? We've all been in that situation. You come home, and you say, oh, let me tell you about my day. And the person goes, yeah, why don't you tell me about it? And starts putting things on the shelf. And your first instinct is, did you hear what I just said? I said I was going to tell you about my day. And so there's this whole idea of simply stopping, which we don't do well in our country, by the way, in our culture, and intentionally listening. Because what you're doing is saying you're worthy of my time, right? That's what you're doing. You're saying you're worthy of me stopping so I can listen to you because you're more important at this point than the other things going around. And so that one is pretty basic, correct? But here's the deal, is that I get very worried sometimes of, if that's how we are as listeners, what do we do when God speaks? I've been focusing over and over lately, because it's something we do every week, go to church. It can become very rote. It can become very much one of those things of, okay, we just got to do this, we're Christians. I've been focused on the fact that, wow, we are entering into the presence of the Lord in a different way when we come together on Sundays. And he's speaking to us. He has asked us to come and listen to a word. Now, as the messenger, that's really scary. Sometimes as a speaker, you think, oh my goodness. And you really start to understand that God's using you to be his mouthpiece, and you're supposed to listen. Wow, we really do need to kind of up the bar when it comes to these meetings. That we don't just come together and go, okay, yay, someone's preaching today. Hope it works. But we have the belief that God Almighty himself has chosen today to speak to us. That should change how we listen. That should almost change how we pay attention. Now, I know I like to be a realist. There are times where maybe the speaker is boring. Or maybe he's not flowing correctly. I understand all those things. But we have to be those that are not just sitting there waiting for the best and some kind of entertainment coming to you. But that we would have the idea and thought in our mind, when I wake up on Sunday morning, this is the day that God is going to speak to me. And am I ready to hear what he has to say? Because that's a whole other piece to the puzzle, right? A whole other piece. Are we ready What if God brings out something in my life today that I needed to hear? And if that hasn't been happening, do you really think God's quiet? Or do you really think your listening might be a little off? It's something to think about. And Sundays can just seem so rote. They seem so natural sometimes. Let's go break bread. Let's have some worship. Let's go eat some stuff, catch up with people, and then hear a good word. And yet we need to understand that God has chosen and ordained time, this time, that we might hear a word from Him. That should make us sit up in our seats a little bit. That should make us be quick to listen. What does God have to say to me? What does God have to say to me? Charles Swindoll wrote this once. He found himself with too many commitments in too few days. He got nervous and tense about it. I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down my food at mealtimes, and feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions through the day. He recalled in his book, Stress Factors. Before long, things around my home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up lifestyle. It was becoming unbearable. I distinctly remember after supper one evening, the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that happened to her at school that day. She began hurriedly, "Dad, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you really fast." Suddenly realizing her frustration, I answered, "Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly." I'll never forget her answer, "Then listen slowly." We are people that can be so busy with things that actually we think are godly, especially on Sunday morning. What about this meeting? What about that meeting? Did we fix this? Did we talk to that brother? Did we talk to that sister? Is the Sunday school taken care of? And we're not even, why are we here? You really think heaven's pleased? We're all, you know, worried about schedules and things like that when God's trying to talk to us? I don't think it works out that way. Sometimes we just need to slow down and listen. Because a lot of times, frustrations come out of that stuff. A lot of times, that's where people start to get agitated. We need to be those that stop and listen. We also need to be those, this is what I want to talk a lot about, is to hear with understanding. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. If you consider yourself a wise person or want to be wise in God's eyes, then your ear, your listening, is one that seeks after knowledge when you listen. You're not just listening to sit there and fill up time and make the person feel good that you kind of sat in. You're listening intently to hear with some kind of understanding. Notice where the person's coming from and what are they really trying to get across. This is where people get very frustrated. Because they're trying to have a message they think is important, and they understand very clearly, because we've all been there, this person really isn't hearing me. Franklin Roosevelt, one of our presidents, did this. Like, man, maybe this story is not true, but if it is, it's a great one. He would often endure long receiving lines at the White House and usually would complain that no one really listened as they were going through the receiving line. It was kind of like, wow, we're at the White House, here's the president, and they would talk and meet and greet, so to speak. One day during a reception, he tried an experiment. To each person who passed down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, "I murdered my grandma this morning." The guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous," "Keep up the good work," "We're proud of you," "God bless you, sir." It was not till the end of the line while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia that his words were actually heard. Nonplussed, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." Okay? Now, here's the deal. Is that it is very easy for us to have rote answers with people, especially when we're talking about spiritual things. You know, not that I'm promoting it, I've seen videos on YouTube like Christian sayings, and it's actually quite hilarious. the Christian sayings we use that just we learn in Christian culture that we just throw out there. Oh, a hedge of protection around you. Let's pray a hedge of protection. What are we talking about? A hedge of what? Sometimes, and I'm not saying that's not actually good. In fact, there's a word that actually means just that we'll look at. But sometimes we get involved in Christian lingo, and we throw out what we think is supposed to be the Christian response, and really, we're not hearing at all what they're saying. We have missed understanding where they are coming from. We have got to get better at this. You know, I was thinking about this when it came to the parable of the sower. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes, snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the word, the seed, by the wayside. So they heard that word, and they didn't get it. Then the wicked one came and snatched it away. Very scary to hear God's word and not understand it. Which, by the way, we should be encouraged then, and maybe humble ourselves, that when we hear a message from the pulpit or Bible study, or quite frankly in our own devotions, that we sometimes don't understand it, and God's talking to us, that we don't just simply throw it off and go, okay, we'll meet up again next week. You should have, in a loving way, go up to the preacher maybe and say, listen, I don't get what you're talking about. Maybe you should go to the person of the Bible study. In your own devotion, this happened to me today. I was just reading through some things in the morning, and I came to the passage where he was talking about the people watching over the house. When the master comes home and finds you, will you be ready for the master when he comes home, or will you just kind of be doing your own thing? And I'm paraphrasing a lot here. And so I read, well, when the master comes home and finds you, maybe not doing what you're supposed to do, there's beatings that happen and maybe kicked out of the house. In my mind, I go, wait a minute. I don't believe in judgment for the Christian when they die and the master comes. There should be no beatings. Something doesn't click. And so now I had a chance. I'm sitting there Sunday morning going, well, I should probably get ready for church. Bristol's a little far away. Do I just let that kind of linger in my mind as God's trying to show me something in the Word? And I go, I don't know. I have to take the time right there in my own personal Bible study to go study a little more. I don't want that going through my mind, especially if it gets scary. If one of us starts to have a conversation about the end times today, and I say, yo, well, sometimes you do get beaten. And now confusion starts happening just because of what I remembered, even though I was confused. God's trying to tell me something. So basically, before there's confusion, I realize it says very clearly, I just didn't read it correctly, that there's unbelievers in the house. And so the whole point of that passage is if you are unbeliever, punishment is coming. I went, oh, okay, a little clarification, a little commentary, a little rereading. Beautiful. I thought, you know, we didn't get punished. But how many times do we do that when we're reading our own personal Bible study? Do we hear with understanding? If we want to be wise, we stop and think, what are you trying to get at, Lord? What is the point that you are trying to bring about? At the end of the parable, verse 23, he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And indeed bears, if you look at the original, basically this is what happens. He's saying because you understand it, of course you're going to go get a lot of fruit come back. That's the goal. You're going to bear a lot of fruit. A lot of crops come up when you understand it. So when we're talking with people, we've got to know where they're coming from. So here is the situation. We listen for PEG. Sounds a little weird. We listen for problems, emotions, and the goal. This will absolutely help your personal relationships with people. When you're listening to them, listen for the problem, the emotion, and the goal. Because sometimes when we're trying to communicate something, we're kind of masking it a little bit, and we as the listeners need to kind of decipher. Listen to what the real problem is. Listen to the emotions behind the person. Are they frustrated? You know, one of the great things I learned once was if someone's frustrated, it doesn't matter if they should be frustrated or not. The reality is they're frustrated, so you treat them as one who's frustrated. Correct? This is one of the biggest problems we have, right? So if my wife gets frustrated that I left the socks on the table, I think in my mind, I don't really care about socks on the table. You shouldn't be frustrated about that. Well, if she's frustrated, it really doesn't matter if I think she shouldn't be frustrated, does it? That's going to be a long time in my marriage. So I have to understand and listen to the emotions behind the conversation. She's frustrated. And actually, I would understand that, yes, she probably should be frustrated if I leave my socks everywhere. But we also listen for the goal. What is the purpose of why they're telling you something? So I like to think of the story of the woman caught in adultery, right? An amazing story in John chapter 8. Here come the Pharisees, and they say they're going to test him. We caught this woman in the very act. Let's turn to it. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 4, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Okay, so they continue asking him. Number one, I think the Lord is good here at being slow to speak, by the way. Now, he doesn't really need to be in my mind because he always says perfect things anyway. And they're getting frustrated going, "Hey, he's not hearing us. He's not listening." Actually, he's listening well. He's listening to exactly what they're coming from. And I would think that he's listening for the problem. Do you really have a problem with this lady caught in adultery? Do you really have a problem? Because last time I checked, the very act takes two people. Okay? So if you really cared about the problem of her breaking the law, you're missing someone. So you can tell right away just from listening, this is not their problem. Their problem is they don't really like Jesus, and there's a lot more problem. They like their sin, and there's pride and all those things. But here's the point. He's listening going, if you think the problem is really her getting caught in adultery, where's the other person? That's the real problem. Look at the emotions. He knows they're testing him. They're frustrated. They're frustrated with the situation, saying, "What should we do? Doesn't the law tell us that we should stone her?" Now think about how we would have responded. Was there any of us that would have said, "Well, listen, we got to go by the Bible. Absolutely, stone her right now, I guess. That's what the law says." And I know I say that casually. I'm saying I might struggle with that stuff, honestly. If someone came to me and said, "Listen, I'll show you right here in Scripture where it says she should get stoned. Let's stone her." I might have to, Scripture says it. Let's do it. Let's stone her. And in fact, the response is even better when the Lord says, because he actually does say, throw the stone. Fulfilling the law. It's a very interesting portion. But he understands what's really going on. He understands their emotion, and he understands their goal is to trick him. That's the goal, to trick him, to get him into a situation that's a little tricky. That's the goal. And so there's a lot of this, when we talk about false teaching, maybe with Reformed theology today, that there's ways you can listen to people with the wrong doctrine, and you should be hearing for their goal. You should be listening for the real problem and the real emotions. But we need to be better at this with people as well, right? When our wives or our spouses, our bosses at work, our friends, our children, when they start coming up to us with questions, with telling us about their day, when they're frustrated and upset, we need to be those that really seek out the true problem. What's the emotions behind it and what's the goal? So, another story from my marriage. There was a situation there, again, we've been married for a long time, where my wife might say something like, "Hey, you need to take the trash out." I said, "Great." In my mind, I got all night. I'm going to go watch the game, and on my way to bed, the trash is on the floor, I'll pick it up, take it out. Well, suddenly, as maybe the game was on, I hear, "Fine, I'll take the trash out." What just happened? I was going to take it out. I don't know why she's upset. She's always busy like that. You know, maybe I need to take her to Scripture and tell her to stop being so busy. I'm just kidding. Although, our minds are weird like that. A fallen people. So, as I start to listen, I start to go, okay, what's really the problem? What is really going on? Is it really about the trash on the floor? Because then you start to realize, you know what? Maybe it's not about the trash on the floor. Maybe that's just kind of the catalyst. What are the emotions? Did I hear it in her voice when she said, "You need to take the trash out"? Was it kind of happy-go-lucky? Or was it a little more serious to her? Because to me, it's just trash. And I can live with it. So, then I want to think about the goal. Because to me, there's going to be trash tomorrow. So it's not like the goal is to get rid of all the trash, because guess what? We live here. So that's a dumb goal, because we'll just get some more trash tomorrow. This is how my mind works. Now, see, I might not get asked back. But I'm somehow I think some of the men in the room can relate. So I started to really go, wait a minute. The problem is, and my wife was home all day, tried to keep the house clean all day, and this trash might have been looking like I didn't try to clean the house at all that day. And now the problem is, she's been trying to have a nice home all day. She looks at the trash and that bothers her because it feels like I've been trying to clean all day and it's insignificant. It's insignificant. The emotions behind it was, hey, if you really liked me, if you really loved me, you'd see this is a problem for me. And the goal would be just for me to acknowledge that she needed me to understand I've been working all day at keeping the house looking a certain way. See, really, it has nothing to do with the trash. So, in the future, I now respond, "Can you take out the trash?" And I might even joke around and say, "Can I wait an hour? I know you want to do it now, but I'm doing something." And you know what? Usually, my wife is great and says, "Sure, honey. You can wait an hour," because now the goal has been met. She understands, listen, you acknowledge that I wanted it clean. You see that I've been doing something all day. Just the fact that you've acknowledged the goal is met, you can do the trash in an hour if you want. But these little things with our relationships with people is why people are constantly upset with each other sometimes. And so we need to really listen at some of these things closely. So, if all of that happens with me, then I think, what happens when the Lord tries to tell me something? And is he speaking, period? You know, sometimes it just bothers me that I'm like, you know, it's been a couple months and I really don't feel like the Lord has said anything to me. You really think he wasn't? Or is it just me? And so sometimes I think, what is the problem that the Lord is trying to address with me? What's his emotions? How does he feel about it? What's the goal? It can be good things too, you know. It can be good things. I have started to realize that as we claim we will live for the Lord, we claim we will deny ourselves and follow Scripture, we claim we will give ourselves to the Lord, that let his will be done and not ours. But and yet, practically living that out is a very hard thing to do. Correct? So, as the Lord asks us things, I've started to realize that the blessings, in some ways, stop until we get it right. So, in other words, here's what I'm saying. I felt like in my own personal life lately, there was issues where I just felt like, man, my prayers hit the ceiling, if that's another Christian expression, things like that. I was doing more ministry. I was serving. I really felt like there was not any sin in my life that really needed to be taken care of. Not that I don't struggle with sin, but there was not something I was not willing to let go of. So I was kind of wrestling with the Lord, saying, "Lord, what is going on?" And for me, it was just as simple as, "Well, James, I think I want you to give a little more tithing." Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, this is very personal, right? Anytime you talk about someone's tithing. Kim and I were giving, but for whatever reason, I felt like he was saying, listen, you don't trust me enough yet. Give a little more. And I kept honestly, he would bring these things up to me, and I kept honestly thinking, man, I'm an elder now. I'm speaking. I got these camp ministries. That tithing stuff is not the big issue. Let's still go talk about some more of this stuff over here. And that's a problem when we get into that. That's not listening. That's not hearing with understanding. And so I realized the Lord was just sitting there saying, listen, are you hearing me at all? I'm a lot bigger than you. I don't need you, first of all, to be an elder, all this stuff. What I've asked of you right now is just to give a little more. And you're refusing to do it. That's a major problem. The goal is for you to trust me a little more. You see my emotions in it. Because then you start to read about the stubborn people and how the Lord reacts with stubborn people. And in my own way of thinking, I'm sitting there going, Lord, it must not be any of that. Let's talk about the real important stuff. Let's talk about, you know, the people in the church and all that stuff. There are times, brothers and sisters, where the Lord just wants one simple obedience, and we refuse to give it to him. And we cannot go any further in our walks until we fix it. And sometimes it's not this a grievous, rageous sin of adultery or something like that. It's not this amazing, you know, huge battle. It's sometimes just something simple that he constantly asks us for, and we refuse to listen. We refuse to listen. And we think of so many other ways to respond when he's just gently telling us something. You know, again, we do that with people all the time. Sometimes it's just something very simple. They want to tell us, and we refuse to listen to them. We got all these answers for all the other things in their lives, and they just want to tell us something simple. You know, it was a sad story. They say they interviewed a bunch of teenage prostitutes in San Francisco. And they said, what, if there's anything, what would be the number one thing you needed before you got into this lifestyle? They said, we just needed someone to listen. When you feel like no one's listening, you can go down a really bad path. And when you, as the person trying to listen, are not listening to those people, then shame on us. And again, I don't know why we think that if we are bad listeners with each other, that somehow we're going to be a really good listener when God tries to talk to us. The final one is hush, hush, hush. You want to be a good listener? You have to be quick to listen. You have to be intentional. You have to hear with understanding with your problems, peg, problems, emotions, and goals. And then you close your mouth. Hush, hush, hush. Slow to speak. Slow to speak. Here's what Proverbs says in 18:13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame to him. You answer a matter before you hear the whole thing. It's a folly and a shame to you. And let me tell you something. I have done that hundreds of times in my life. You know what we do? We get on this little piece of the puzzle. We hear one word that person says to us, and we have already come up with our defense, our agenda, and exactly what we're going to say to them, and they haven't finished talking yet. So that if someone says something simple like, yeah, I heard of Reformed theology, we've cut them off. Now, again, I'm just using the example for today. I'm not saying any of us here would do that. But I'm saying sometimes we can hear something like that, and we are ready to now defend why that's wrong. We're ready to go right at it. And maybe they're not even saying they believe in that. They're just talking about some of the things. Like, yeah, my brother, I think he's thinking about being Reformed, and we just... We just blast them. And they're going, wait a minute. I said my brother's thinking about it, but I don't think he really is. And, you know, so we need to be those who hush, who are slow to speak. Okay? It is a shame and a folly. A lot of times we like to give answers, right? We love to just fix everyone's problem. And we know there's times in our lives where, guess what? We didn't want a problem to be fixed. We just wanted an ear. We just wanted someone to listen. We know the solution. We just wanted someone to listen. Some of the best answers you can give sometimes is someone to say, listen, I can relate. That's it. That's it. Just say, yeah, I've been there. I can relate. Sometimes that's all you need to give that part of your life to the Lord, to be encouraged in the faith. Just have someone else understand and say, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Instead of trying to give us all these answers, so to speak. Make sure we hear the whole story before we answer. Make sure you hear the whole story. Sometimes we need to ask more details, right? Sometimes people aren't giving us the whole story. And we need to hear the whole story. This is especially true in counseling or in dealing with any problem in the assembly. You hear one person's side of the story and then make a judgment, shame on you. Shame on us. We have got to hear both sides for us to make any kind of righteous judgment and or wisdom. And sometimes it's hard. We have all these assumptions, right? So make sure we hear both sides of the coin, especially with our kids, you know. There is that one in a million shot they weren't wrong sometimes. There is that one in a million shot. It's one in a million, but it's there. The probability is there. There was a story of a guy who was casually walking along the country with his dog and mule. Suddenly a speeding pickup truck came around the corner, knocking the man, his mule, and his dog into a ditch. The man decided to sue the driver of the truck. He went to court, and the cross-examiner said, listen, I want you to answer a simple question. At the time of the accident, did you not say that you were perfectly fine? Well, the guy starts to discuss. He says, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road. The cross-examiner says, sir, yes or no? Did you say you were perfectly fine at the time of the accident? He says, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking. He said, sir, answer the question. Yes or no? You said you were perfectly fine. And the judge finally says, listen, let's hear what this guy has to say. Well, me and my dog were walking with my mule, and this truck came around the corner so fast it knocked us into the ditch. The driver stopped, got out of the truck, saw my dog was badly injured, went back to his truck, got his rifle, and he shot it. Then he saw that my mule had broken his leg, so he shot that. Then he said, how are you? And I said, I'm perfectly fine. We have to hear the whole story. We have to. We have to be those that are slow to speak. I am always amazed at the Lord Jesus Christ, who in his amazingness did not say so many things before Pilate, before his Pharisees, before the disciples. I mean, you name it. There's a million things I would have said if I was in his shoes. But he doesn't say a lot in some ways. He really doesn't. Let's look at one more thing. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth. Let not your heart utter anything hastily before the Lord. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. I would like us to try to remember that next Sunday morning. The wisdom of Solomon. That's that hedge of protection, to walk prudently. He says to walk carefully when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than give that sacrifice. Sometimes we come to the church with the agenda that we're going to do something for the Lord. We're going to give and he's going to love it. The Bible warns us against that. It says, come ready to listen. And then it says, don't be rash with your mouth, and don't utter anything hastily before the Lord. Now, I just want us to think of the verses, and sometimes I want us to be careful in the way we've set up our breaking of bread. I'm not someone that wants a very dead, quiet service at all. But at the same time, there's always times where we stop and we listen before we get up. There are those weeks that really, truly, we are all worshiping and there really are no words to say. That can happen. And so I want us to be very careful, especially us guys that do it audibly, when we stand up to worship, that we're not just ready to give a sacrifice because we think God will be pleased. He is pleased. And that's why I want to be very careful with my words. And if you want to listen carefully, now is the time. I think we should always be ready to worship the Lord on Sunday morning. But we come first with an attitude of listening. And then we think and we meditate. And then sometimes we just utter simple things like thank you. We don't have this huge list of an agenda when we share. We just get up and we have our words few and we thank the Lord. There's more of that we need. We need to be those who are ready to come and say, Lord, what do you want to happen this Sunday? Instead of us with already a pre-planned agenda. When our worship comes, hey, listen. He is worthy of our worship. But at the same time, when our worship is done wrong, it's no credit to Him. We don't get brownie points just because we brought the sacrifice. The Israelites are filled with that stuff. Well, didn't we do the lamb? Didn't we do what we're supposed to do? He said, your hearts were far from me. It's always a heart issue. And when we deal with people, listening to them, it's always a heart issue. Be very careful in our responses. Final thing. The first thing you can say is simply, so what I hear you saying is. That's what you say to someone. If someone says, listen, I've had a rough day. The kids were out of control. They overcharged me at Dunkin' Donuts. And, you know, then the car broke down. The first thing you can say is, so what happened today was, you messed up at Dunkin' Donuts. And then the understanding comes into play. You'd be amazed how happy people can get when you simply reiterate what they told you. Because everyone likes to be heard. Everyone likes to sit there and say, wow, you really listened. And so again, I pray that we would just listen to each other better. Especially here at the assembly. You know, we just have to listen to one another better. There's certain things people are going through that you and I do not have answers to. We just need to listen. We just need to listen. And I really pray, this whole message is for me, is that God is always talking. So how am I doing at really listening to what He says? And are we really ready to hear and act on what He tells us to do individually? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much, Lord, that you would take the time to even listen to us. Lord, I don't want to take for granted the fact that you can hear a million prayers at once and you didn't give any less attention to any of them. You can hear us in different languages at different times, all at the same time, and yet it would be like I'm the only one talking to you. Lord Jesus, thank you for being such a good listener. Thank you so much for your slow-to-speak ability, how you did not lash out at people while you were here on earth, even though they said some of the most untheological crazy ideas. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to be good listeners, especially with those we care about, as parents, as children, as spouses, with our leadership here in the assembly, with each other. Help us to really see where people are coming from, and that we would fulfill that great commandment, that we would love our neighbor as ourself, that we would esteem others better than ourselves, that we would be humble, and that we really would give of ourselves to each other because you gave yourself for us. Oh, Lord, it's such a huge task. And so we acknowledge our dependency on you for it. Thank you. In your name, amen.